From the music tenderloin. Jenna Schweinman, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you. And you?
I'm well here on the...
Good.
I'm looking out at New York from my Greenwich Village abode, and it looks sunny and pleasant. Pardon me?
Yes, and I'm looking out from my Upper West Side apartment, so there Good. You go.
I first was introduced to you a week ago. I saw you being interviewed on New York One, and I immediately started taking notes as I was intrigued by the name of your organization, Education Through Music, that you were dealing with a very contentious contemporary political issue about the trade-off of smaller class size and sacrificing the arts in the schools. And all of which we'll get to. But then I got so excited when you started to, and I think this has the long range impact. You talked about the use of music in the classrooms. And then you said in math, and I could just see the possibilities. Tell us, obviously you've seen this in action, because I came from a time when they seemed to make the goal was to make the classroom as boring and as restrictive as possible. And the idea of music is so freeing. Tell us about that.
I would love to. So I've been to many of the classrooms that we serve now in New York City, and they're all in low-income areas and in under-resourced schools. And the wonderful thing that you see is that students really are inspired, they get a sense of self-confidence and self-expression, and they really learn memory skills and communication skills. And those skills are transferable to other subjects and academic subjects. Now, we go a step further, actually. We are not an organization that comes into the school occasionally. We are a core course in the schools with which we partner. And as such, we can work with the other teachers, which is what we do, for cross-disciplinary work. So, for example, if we're teaching students, you know, this is a half note, this is a full note, they can transfer that to what fractions are. And that is what we do. We really try to increase reading skills, memory skills, mathematical skills, so that the student is not just motivated, but also sees the relationship between what he or she is learning in the music classroom to what they are really experiencing in their academic areas.
So when they're in if they're in a math class, is there music playing?
There's not necessarily music playing, but the teachers get together in a cross-disciplinary way, and they talk about the application of what they're doing in the music classroom to what they're doing in, let's say, history or English or math. So, for example, we have a very diverse musical program. So if they're learning, let's say, about the music of Africa, they can then bring that into their geography or civics class or social studies class and say, this is the music that you learned about. This is the people that have created that music. This is the way it is performed in different countries. So across the board, we are really focusing on music education, but we're also helping teachers within a school in which we are embedded to apply that music to whatever academic subject they are instructing students.
And what is the range of music? You mentioned I saw some film clips just brief on the television interview. Is most of it classical or is it cultural?
No, not at all. It's classical is just one component. So we have music from Africa. We have music from the Latino countries. We have music from Asian countries. And what we do is to really teach DEI in that opportunity and really give students, and this is a very, very core part of our curriculum, to really have students understand the different forms of expression by different groups of people. And not only to understand it, but to appreciate it. And what's so wonderful about that is that the students in the classroom can identify with what they're hearing. It's not like they're learning classical music, which is very, very distant and divorced from their own lives. We try to integrate the music that we're teaching them with the backgrounds that they themselves come from.
At what grade levels?
We are K through 12. With K through 12, we go through the entire gamut. But what's also interesting in, is in that the middle schools from higher in the higher grades, we also try to integrate computer instruction so that they learn how to develop or to compose music through technology, or to learn about music through technology, which is an added feature that we provide in the instruction that we offer.
These are all public schools?
Only public schools, yes.
So you're doing it, so the Board of Education is cooperative with you. How many schools are you in?
We're in 53 schools. We hope in September we will be in 60 schools. We're in every borough. We are we're only concentrated in low-income areas where this, not only is it a low-income area, a community, but also the schools are under-resourced. We pay for the teachers. Our program pays for the teachers. So that is an added element to what we do. And we create our curriculum, and we provide our teachers with a minimum of 100 hours of professional development.
So the teachers, education through music, your program, you bring your teachers go into the schools and are, how do you describe their role within each school?
They're embedded into the overall program of the school. They have a classroom where they have musical instruments that we also provide. We have a relationship with the principal of every school with which we partner. The Department of Education is very supportive of us because it feels that we provide added value. Our ultimate goal is, we believe in a sustainable program. So our ultimate goal is that these teachers become hired by the Department of Education after a number of years of being an ETM teacher.
Have you been doing this long enough to have results? And obviously the proof in the pudding would it be, I guess, student response.
Yes.
How many years have you been going in, and what are you hearing from students?
We have been doing this for 30 years.
Really?
Hearing,
why did I
yes,
just learn about
years.
It?
That's what's something we're going to be working on. We're going to be working on people knowing, understanding, and really supporting what we're doing. And I hope very much that we will be more of a presence in New York. But the thing is that when we speak to students, I wish I could take you to a performance. I went to a performance recently in Staten Island. They were kids from from first grade all the way through higher grades. These kids feel so invigorated. They
a performance of what?
Of the students themselves, a singing performance. So they were all... Each grade came on and each grade performed, and there were parents that came from the community, which is another very, very big goal of ours, to make the community feel part of the school through their children's performance. So these children, when you talk to them, they feel so empowered. They feel self-confident. They feel that they have some opportunity for self-expression. And it gives them an opportunity for discovery. It really gives them a way in which to express themselves.
I'm sure you've heard from people of my vintage that education for me, it wasn't until I went to college that I got excited by sitting in a classroom. I felt restricted and intimidated, and I hear this, you know, I work, as I've told you, I work with the Fortune Society, and so
yes.
many of our young people are school dropouts. And as I hear their stories, it was almost we have to create small classrooms so that they don't feel that they're going into the enemy.
So let me just speak to that on different levels. I'm a product of the New York public schools, and I must tell you that the best experience I had in my whole education, my college, my graduate school, was my time at High School of Music and Art, which was a public school. That public school brought together people from every background. We had orchestra, we had band, we had choir, and the opportunity to really feel good about yourself and about what you were doing through music made so many graduates of that school contributors to society because they felt empowered. And, you know, I'm also a believer in small classes. I really am. I believe that that's a very important educational tool. But I don't think you can trade off one for the other. And in our situation, we're paying for the teachers. So it's not that we're drawing down from the budget. We're just enhancing the overall instruction of the students through what we offer.
Well, Janice Weidman, that I think that was the main reason you were on New York One, because the political issue is that the city responding to the need, the reality that we need smaller classrooms, is that they want to trade off. They want to give up arts in the schools, not just in the classroom. Those extracurricular activities, that kept me in school. That was the rich part, the songs, the choir, the band, the drama clubs, the political clubs, the intramural basketball. They want to give that up. How do we fight that?
Well, there are several ways. First of all, the legislation is an unfunded mandate. So, number one, hopefully that there will be funds addressed to it. Secondly, the budget that was cut by the Board of Education by $200 million is now being reconsidered for inclusion in the budget. Third of all, ETM does not really draw down from the budget. The only thing is that with smaller class size, you have to fill up many more class spaces, and we need a classroom and more teachers. So I think that in the case of our program, there may not be a trade-off because it is not that much of a drain on the budget of the schools or the Department of Education. We're hoping that some of those proposals will be addressed and will be overturned so that one is not being traded off for the other, but that each can exist side by side in a school that really would bring the best to students, small classes, and these programs of art and music and so forth.
Does education through music, your program, concern itself with the what I call the extracurricular, the after school, which I think is key, especially for so many latchkey students, that those programs are vital, aren't they?
Yes. So we do both. Our model is that we are part of the school program, the overall school program, and we're in schools 5 days a week. That is a very core part of our philosophy, because we don't want to be add-ons. But we also, after school, provide choir practice, band practice, orchestra practice for those who are, you know, who are taking this more seriously or are more advanced. But we have a combination of both. So we really provide, you know, the best of all options to students. If they want to pursue choir after class, if they want to play in a band, they have that opportunity, and our teachers provide that after school as well.
We found at the Fortune Society, it's one of the things I told you, is that many young people, and not just young people, who through the arts, not as a career, but just a fulfillment of expressing themselves, it's life-changing, be it writing poetry or drawing a picture or playing an instrument or singing a song. It's an incredible the sense of achieving of expressing yourself through the art. It's so exciting.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I read about your Fortune Society program, and I think it gives people a reason. It gives people a sense of
pride,
and it gives people a way of really self-expression and self-confidence. And I think that without it, students are really deprived of an opportunity to be themselves. And I think that as people grow and develop and become part of society, having that basis, having that foundation in their lives can really make a difference.
As you may know, this is hopefully an activist community station. Are there things that concern people about the educational system? Do you need a constituency? What would you need from an activist? What kind of support do you need, and how would they contact you?
They can contact us through ETM online, etmonline.org.
That stands for Education Through Music.
etmonline.org. They can contact us through that. But we believe very strongly in advocating for music. We believe that that needs to be done. It needs to be directed to the city council, to the assembly and the state senate, to our mayor and our governor, and advocacy groups that believe in the need to help students who otherwise would not have these options. People who believe in that need to lobby their legislators, their leadership.
Now you're giving us the clue. That's what you need, is advocates for political action.
Correct. And that's not an unusual request. But we
I'm sorry?
Yes, and we work with the council people and the assembly people and the state senate people. If individuals who are activists can reach out to their local legislators to tell them how important this is for students' growth and development and success in life, personal success, and success in the community, if they make that clear to their legislators, then I think they have performed a very important function.
And I would suggest that they go to your website, etm.com, is that it?
No, it's ETM Online.
ETM Online.
All one word, .org.
ETMonline.com. And that to
be... .com, .org, .org. We're not for profit, so it's org.
I'll get it right eventually. ETMonline.org. And the reason that it's important that if they're going to be advocates in your behalf and for the arts in the curriculum is to be an informed advocate. And that's why I call on people to go to etmonline.org. I got it right then. I just want to share one story with you. When I was a teenager, I got the Ethical Culture Society had a summer encampment that I went to. And the boys were in dorms, the girls were in dorms, and they woke us up every morning. It was startling to me at first. They had on the PA system, and I'll never forget it. It was the Hungarian Rhapsody. And we bounced out of bed, and I realized as it went along that music getting us up instead of a bugle or a whistle, it created such an attitude or a feeling of joy. And I want to do something. It's subtle, but it's real. Music.
So you can imagine if a child who comes from a disadvantaged home goes to school and has nothing in that school that appeals to him or to her and knows that they're going to school to perform. We hear from students that the thing that they enjoy the most in school is music. We hear that across the board.
Sure.
And it increases their attendance and their retention. And we know it's not that we are promoting something that isn't a reality. So these kids go to school because they have that joy that you are describing, that joy that makes them feel good, that joy that brings them to the educational setting. And it is something that people underestimate because they think it's just an add-on. It's not. It's intrinsic to the development of any child.
Fascinating. You know, when I watch you, I felt like it was as if doors and windows were opening. When you say that you're there for 30 years, I think, God, this has been out there. We have to get behind this. This is so vital that the classroom has to be a place of joy, of creativity, of acceptance. And I say that as one who always felt that I was coming in. All I can tell you, Janice Weidman, that Mrs. Schultz, my fifth grade teacher, would be horrified at the notion of joy in the classroom. That, and I wish she were around to meet you and hear you. And I would love to play, go into one of her classrooms and play the Hungarian Rhapsody and just watch the kids jump up and down and dance. Thank you so much. And thank we are you. Going and, to, and thank and you I for hope, joining us.
And I hope you will come and I will follow up with you to our classes so that you can observe that.
Oh, I'd love to. I'd love to.
We will
thank
do
you.
That. Thank
and,
you so much.
And you're going to be followed with music. We're going to play Michael Bublé. So thank you so much for joining us. I'm very excited by all of this, and I hope that we talk to each other and see each other in weeks to come. Thank you, Dennis Weidman. And
thank you.
And Education Through Music. Here's Michael Bublé.
I can think of younger days when living for